been a wonderful, many of you know the story of Bobby and I, and 17 years, so we're having our reunion, hiking and talking, so we spend a lot of time together. We were chatting on Facebook, and then I said, why don't you come to Norway? And he did. So you can do that to your friends. But it's been a wonderful journey for both of us as we sit together and reflect on our journey from where we were working in the inner city ministry in Portland, Oregon. And now here we are after 17 years. Yeah. So as we were sharing, come here, come, don't move away from me.
Oh, okay.
So as we were sharing together last night, all that God is doing and how we encourage one another. Guys, also I want to thank Bobby personally. This whole week he's been carrying boxes and lifting stuff, storing it at our new storage down there. And then on Friday evening we were putting together one cabinet from IKEA. So, and then he reminded me, hey, brother, I'm here for vacation. I'm supposed to be on vacation. That's a good time, good way to spend your vacation with me. Yes.
It's been a beautiful time to have that much time together.
Yes. So good. I asked Bobby, I said, I want you to share as a devotion for the congregation what God has been teaching you, what you've been going through and all the challenges and joy. So let's pray for Bobby. Father, we want to thank you that how you've orchestrated our lives in the season of our lives, that you've been, we were not alone. You were with us. And we see this in this example as Bobby shared with us, that you will remind us of who we are in you and all that you did for us. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Joely. Thank you so much. And thank you all so much. It is so exciting to be here and be a part of this. I love the word that Joely used just now of joy. These past 17 years have not been easy for me. There's been some joys, but a lot of sorrows, too, a lot of difficulty. But those valleys have been teaching me to look up. Those sorrows have taught me a deeper joy. Those fears have brought a deeper trust in me. And wanted to just share a little bit about that. I so enjoyed the worship this morning, and I just want to share with you guys that worship used to be difficult for me. I would wrestle a lot. I would be distracted by inaccuracies. If something sung I didn't believe was theologically true, I'd get distracted by that. I'd be judging the musicians. You know, all this stuff would go on inside of me. But it has become an incredibly liberating thing for me in worship to have that be the spark of a conversation with God. All the time that I'm singing, it's like, God, what is true in what's being said? Where is that true? Where is this spoken of in Scripture? How does this reflect you? Or even if it's not true, that can point me to what is true, right? What is right here? What does Scripture say? And it would be this life-giving conversation. Who is speaking in this song? Who is being spoken about? If that's not true of me, maybe this is a prayer I can be singing to him to, Lord, make this true of me. So I wanted to share one of those that's been so powerful for me. In the church where I'm at home, it's called Crown and Anchor. They write a lot of their own music. And there's this one song that they write that's a beautifully stirring tune. And it starts out, it says, "You are my first love. You're what I've longed for. And all of the love that's in your eyes." And then it goes into this chorus that says, it sounds so beautiful. It says, "Come in close. Come a little bit closer now. Come in closer to me." And I remember having that wrestling in my heart, like, wait a minute, is that true? Do we really need to beg God to come in close to us? And I thought, no. No, that's not true. That is actually what all of the religions, all of the other religions in all of the world are trying to do, are begging the God of the heavens to overcome his reluctance and come close to us, right? To work our way up to him, to get him, to convince him to come close to us. But Christianity is exactly the opposite, right? God has passed from heavens to earth. He has torn the veil. He has overcome even our own sin to come close to us. And then it suddenly struck me that the one who is saying, come in close, it's not us begging God to come close. It's the Father saying, come, come in close. Come here, come close to me. And what I saw suddenly in a moment was the prodigal son walking home to his father. And if you can just imagine for a moment how long that road must have been to turn around and come back to his father. Like Derek mentioned this morning, some of us have had difficult weeks. Some of us have had difficult months or seasons or years or decades. And when I think about the season that the prodigal son went through, the famine that the prodigal son experienced when he was there feeding pigs and in the depths of his sorrow, I can't help but know that that is the mercy and grace and the kindness of God to send that famine to the son, to bring him to his knees, to come back to the father. I can only imagine him, like me, going, looking anywhere else but to the father to get what we need. But he says, come in close. So I could see the father saying, come in close, pulling the son in right up into his chest, even resisting the son's own arms. No, father, no. I smell. I have stained my clothes. I've stained my soul. I've stained my reputation and yours. No. Remember what he said to the father. He said, I'll go to my father and become one of his servants. He wasn't even asking to be accepted. He wasn't asking to be forgiven. He's like, I just need food. That's all I'm asking for. And the father says, no, come in close. Come in close to me. Overcoming the son's own reluctance, overcoming his doubts and fears were entirely misplaced. Because here's the thing. The son knew everything that he had done to soil his reputation. He'd known everything he's done. Does that mean time's up? Oh, okay, we're good. I'm like, ah. The son knew everything he had done wrong. He didn't know how his father would respond, right? And the father didn't know everything his son had done, but the father knew something else. The father knew that it doesn't matter what the son had done. The father knew that he didn't need to know what the son had done. The father knew that nothing could change him from being his son. And he says to him, come in close. He just wanted him home. His son was still a son, no matter what. And his love covers the multitude of sins. So he pulls him in close, overcoming his son's resistance, his reluctance, his shame, his doubts. He says, come a little bit closer now. So I just want to say to you, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if your heart is hungry or thirsty, come in close. If you've stained your reputation, the reputation of your family or friends, come a little bit closer now. If you've forgotten where you belong or who you belong to, who you are and whose you are, he says, come in close to me. And know this too. The Father brought him in close, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his shoulders and sandals on his feet. You guys, that ring speaks to his identity. He's his son. That robe speaks to his position. The sandals speak to his provision. Those clothes speak. That ring speaks. It speaks to you. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are forgiven, free, brought back into the family and celebrated. That clothes, those clothes speak to your provision, to your position. They speak to you. They speak to the Father. So every time he sees you, he sees the clothes. He sees the ring. He sees the sandal that says to him, you are mine. And that ring, that robe, those sandals speak to everyone around us. That says, we are his. So if you have not come to know him, he says, come in close. If you are his son, his daughter, wake up the next morning, see the robe hanging on the hook of your door, look down and see the ring on your finger, and know you are his. You are his. He called you always. Come in close. Son, daughter, I love you. I miss you. Come close. He pulls you into his chest, buries your head in his shoulder, kisses you on the head, and holds you there.